Hello, I'm Kate. I'm going to read the editorial. I remember being puzzled many years ago at the number of times people kept going back to the cinema to see The Sound of Music. And we're talking dozens here. Why? I mean, it's a good movie, but hardly a masterpiece. But there was a theory among the keen young musicologists at my university that the reason people were always going back was because there is no musical resolution in Rodgers and Hammerstein's score, so they return in the vain hope of hearing a full musical close. Well, I don't agree. I think it's because you think it's all over and then it isn't. The sight of Julie Andrews in a wedding dress with an enormous train that hasn't departed the east door of Vienna's cathedral by the time she arrives at the altar to marry Christopher Plummer is where the film should end. At least that's what I thought when I first watched it. In fact, though, it is the moment in the movie when in the good old days you had an interval, sending you off to mooch around the tacky cinema foyer wondering when part two might start. And after you retake your seat, you get half a film. Sure, they get away from the Nazis and Maria has been on honeymoon, nudge wink, but then what? But it's that wedding that gets me. It should be the closure, the ending of the story, the final moment when romance meets mutual bills, not the curtain raiser for a popcorn and a can of fizzy drink. A wedding is one of the hardcore climaxes of storytelling. Even for Lady and the Tramp, for goodness sake, though I seriously doubt anyone would be mad enough to take on Buzz Lightyear. Shakespeare is at it a lot. Hymen strides in at the end of As You Like It, singing Wedding is Great Juno's Crown. O blessed bond of board and bed, tis Hymen peoples every town. High wedlock then be honoured. Honour, high honour and renown to Hymen, god of every town. And then there's Mozart. The Marriage of Figaro was written to celebrate a wedding, complete with fireworks at the end, which was the reason we went to see it on our own wedding day. To be fair, no one knew we were married for months, so we could do pretty much what we wanted. But now, for once in my life, I find myself actually in a story that ends in a wedding. My own daughters, which she, her mother, and the mother of the groom have been planning for, oh, so many months. I used to think I was the star of my life, but now it's clear I am merely a bystander. I have married off a son, but that seems the easy bit. Daughters, though. Tell that to King Lear. But it's not a matter of how much they love you, it's about how much you love them, and then letting go, so another bloke can love them even more. So, with a sigh of resignation and the hope of delight, I set off to join the throng with a script in my pocket. It's not a script, Chris, it's a speech. Oh, okay then. And a sense of joy that, for one day at least, all might be right with the world.